From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message entitled Division Among the People of God, part of his series of studies in the Book of Acts. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning. Our text for today is found in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 33. I will be their God. Christian, here is all thou canst require. To make thee happy, thou wantest something that shall satisfy thee. And is not this enough? If thou canst pour this promise into thy cup, wilt thou not say with David, My cup runneth over, I have more than heart can wish. When this is fulfilled, I am thy God. Art thou not possessor of all things? Desire is insatiable as death, but he who filleth all in all can fill it. The capacity of our wishes, who can measure? But the immeasurable wealth of God can more than overflow it. I ask thee if thou art not complete when God is thine. Dost thou want anything but God? Is not his all-sufficiency enough to satisfy thee if all else should fail? But thou wantest more than quiet satisfaction. Thou desirest rapturous delight. Come, soul, here is music fit for heaven in this thy portion, for God is the maker of heaven. Not all the music blown from sweet instruments or drawn from living strings can yield such melody as this sweet promise, I will be their God. Here is a deep sea of bliss, a shoreless ocean of delight. Come, bathe thy spirit in it. Swim an age, and thou shalt find no shore. Dive throughout eternity, and thou shalt find no bottom. I will be their God. If this do not make thine eyes sparkle and thy heart beat high with bliss, then assuredly thy soul is not in a healthy state. But thou wantest more than present delights. Thou cravest something concerning which thou mayest exercise hope. And what more canst thou hope for than the fulfillment of this great promise, I will be their God? This is the masterpiece of all promises. Its enjoyment makes a heaven below, and will make a heaven above. Dwell in the light of thy Lord, and let thy soul be always ravished with his love. Get out the marrow and fatness which this portion yields thee. Live up to thy privileges, and rejoice with unspeakable joy.
Of our Father, which passes all other, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ our Lord.
Always, always rejoice in the Lord. I'll say it again, oh, rejoice in the Lord. With unselfish giving, with sanctified living, with hearts in thanksgiving, rejoice.
I will lift up my voice.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy.
Thank you.
Chapter 6 of the book of Acts began with a problem which arose in the church, specifically division. There was discontent among the Grecians because their widows were neglected in the daily provision of food within the body of believers. As Dr. Cairns has reminded us, great blessing is often followed by subtle attacks of the devil. When Satan cannot succeed in external assaults, he often resorts to causing strife within the church, a tactic which can be much more serious than trouble from the outside. The sin of murmuring or complaining is particularly destructive of the unity of the church. It's often true that we fail at the point of our greatest strength. God's answer to the problem was the appointment of deacons, godly men who were installed to take care of the temporal needs of the church. With the difficulty solved, the apostles returned to their focus upon the Word of God and prayer, resulting in great increases in the salvation of souls. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message entitled, Division Among the People of God.
When I think of wisdom, and of course this isn't only the mark of the deacon, it should be the mark of the minister and of the elders as well. I always think of an old elder back in one of our churches in Northern Ireland, a place called Rasharkin. When I was senior minister there, they'd had a little bit of bother, one of those things. The minister in charge hadn't really wanted to face up to it, had run away from it, and like anything else of that nature, it got worse. And so when the presbytery pitched me in, I was up to my eyeballs. Now everybody knows I'm such a peaceable character that it was most out of character for me, but it had to be done. And it was rough for a little while, tough for a little while. And I had to take all the elders, one of them threatening, well, actually had resigned, one of those sword brandishing exercises, you know, I'm going to resign, please tell me not to. And so I said to them, all right, brethren, I want to tell you, I have a golden rule. Any one of you resigns, I accept your resignation without question. I never ask a man to stay. There were no more resignations. But a few weeks later, I had to go back in my own word because this old man called me. And he said, he rather sent me a letter first and said, I want to resign. Not in pique. Not in bad temper, not because he was in disagreement, but he said, brother, I'm very old now. Sometimes I can hardly stand. When it comes to the communion, I can't even carry the elements down the aisle. And I feel maybe the church would be the stronger if I were to make way for a younger man. His name was Samuel John Logan. Always get your full name in the country district, Samuel John. And I had his letter with me. I took it out of my pocket. I said, Samuel John, I said I would accept any resignation. And I tore it up, but I don't have any resignation. And I put it away. And I'll tell you why I did that. I have sat with that man in session meetings of the greatest importance. Now, he's just an ordinary countryman. I suppose he has never been beyond, even if he has been right through grade school. But he's a man of rare intelligence. And he's a man of consummate wisdom. And I said to him, there's a new minister coming to this church. And even if you can never attend a session meeting, you're going to be a session member, for I want that minister, who could well be a young man and certainly new to this district. I want him to have an open door to come and talk to you and get the benefit of your wisdom and the things of God. My friend, that's the kind of men we need. Wise men. And there's just one other mark about them. Their availability, whom we may appoint. You see, it's not every man who's willing to shoulder the task of responsibility in the church. It's not every man, even though he may be wise, and he may be spiritual, and he may be of good report, who wants to bear the burden. But the Lord is saying that we must be available, we must be capable of being put into office. I wonder this morning, are you available for the Lord? I'm not now talking just about available to be appointed a deacon.
I'm asking, are you available to the Lord? I'm asking you as a Christian man or woman, are you in the place where you can say, Lord, thank God by your grace you've given me a testimony that I have integrity. You've given me a testimony that I am filled with the Spirit. People see me as a spiritual man or a spiritual woman. And, oh Lord, by your grace you've given me some spiritual and scriptural wisdom. And now I'm willing and ready to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in whatever capacity He would place me in. My friend, that is the mark that the Lord's looking for in your life. And before we leave the deacons, just let me say this. Here we have the principle of the election of office bearers. But I would to God that every election of office bearers and indeed every division in the church could be looked at as spiritually as these people looked at it. Did you ever read the list of names in verse 5? Now remember what this division was all about. It was between the Grecians and the Hebrews. The Hebrews were the bad guys. They were the ones who were overlooking the Grecian widows in the distribution of food. Now look at the names of the men who were elected. Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas. Now, we can't be absolutely sure, but the names would suggest that every one of them was a Grecian. And certainly, Nicholas wasn't even a Jew at all. He was a proselyte. He was a Gentile who had joined Judaism. Now, what does that tell us? Well, this is the reason why I told you I don't believe it was a sinful neglect in the first place. Because these Hebrews are not mean-hearted. They're big-hearted. And when they get into trouble in the church and their action is causing division, do they simply retrench their position? Do they simply get down behind their barricades and say, now, we're going to hold our position? No, sir. What do? They come to elect the office bearers. And they elect the Grecians to office. They give them their say. And if that magnanimous spirit was always evident in every church dispute, I can tell you disputes would not end in division. But furthermore, as I say here, you've got these men elected. I wonder, when it comes to the election of office bearers, will this church be spiritual enough to appoint God's men, not merely our men. You'll see here the Hebrews were not voting in their men. They were not putting in people whom they could use like puppets on a string. They were putting in God's men. I have seen churches split down the middle because of elections. I have seen people get into a rare rage and tantrum because their husband or their son or their uncle or their somebody else, their friend, didn't happen to get put into office. My friend, we ought to be looking beyond man's perspective in this and saying, Lord, we want to have God's men. That's how they elected their deacons. And thank God, when you come to look at the results, you will see that the Lord blessed such a procedure. Verse 7. You've got their development. Now, the devil's tactics only succeeded in bringing forth men of God. And you'll see here in this 7th verse that a purified church is a powerful church. You see, verse 6 says, they prayed. If they had done that in verse 1, they'd have saved themselves an awful lot of bother. But they didn't. Now they pray. Now they're doing things God's way. And as the result of doing things God's way, as the result of the dealing with sin, as the result of a purification in the church, we now find power again in the church. Now there's not a word about anybody being contacted in the first 6 verses. There's not a word of gospel preached in the first 6 verses. There's not a word of warning about hell in the first 6 verses. There's not a word of outreach in the first 6 verses. Because while the church is disputing with itself, while the church is impure because of murmuring and division and sin, It's useless to God. But once they get to prayer again, oh, immediately we find the Word of God increased. Take away the obstacles to the Word of God and it will increase. In my Bible at home, I have joined up what the Apostle said in verse 4. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. I have that joined up with verse 7, and the Word of God increased. Take away the obstacles. Get rid of the sin. Purify the church. Stop the murmuring. Stop the backbiting. Stop the divisions. Let God's people see their proper priorities. Let God's people give themselves to the Word and to prayer, and the Word of God will increase. That's the message. A purified church is always a powerful church. It's the same lesson as we find in chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. The same message, the same lesson. Great fear came upon all the church. That's their purification. Once Ananias and Sapphira died, the church was purified. They were afraid to sin. They walked holy in this world. And verse 12, the power of God came down. See him now in verse 7 of chapter 6. Once the sin of God's people is put away, and God's people begin to live like they ought to live, then great fruitfulness ensues. I would to God that this would be the Lord's word about this church. I would to God that He could sum up the ministry of this church in these words. And the Word of God increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. And the great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. May the Lord give us that kind of fruitfulness. He will. His Word cannot fail. Just let's make very, very sure that by neglect or by whispering, backbiting, murmuring, or any other kind of sin, we are not striving against God and hindering the onward movement of the gospel. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou art always able to repel the attack of the devil. And we pray that Thou wilt, even in our own experience here, keep the devil out. Lord, keep us from division. Keep us, O Lord, from neglect of God's people. Keep us, we pray, from murmuring. Keep us, O Lord, from every form of sin that would grieve away Thy Holy Spirit. Keep us, Lord, we ask of Thee, from everything that would dishonor Thy name. Oh, help us to give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. God grant that the Word of the truth of the Gospel will go forward and bring many souls to Christ. Continue with us right throughout this day. Bless in the Sunday school hour to follow. Bless in the evening Gospel service. Bring sinners in and bring them to Christ. And part us now with Thy blessing. Keep us in Thy fear, the beginning of all knowledge and wisdom. Be the abiding portion of all Thy blood-bought church, both today and until our Lord Jesus Christ either calls us home or comes again in all His glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.